Surat al-Fatir. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا آمنوا. We were discussing the lessons that we learn from Karbala and what Imam Hussein and his sacrifice and his message teaches us. Just to conclude and wrap up the discussions that we had today briefly, so that we can go over these lessons and see what are the things that we get out of it. In learning the lessons of Ashura, the lessons are so many, and there are so many morals that we learn from this event. That obviously, for every level of person and for every level of faith, we see there are different lessons to be learned. Some of these lessons are such that as people who cry for Imam Hussein, who love Imam Hussein, who shed tears for Imam Hussein, who feel love for Imam Hussein, we should be past those lessons. And there's no need for emphasis on those lessons. Rather, we need to emphasize those lessons that will make us and challenge us to grow and become better than what we already are. Some people are stuck with lessons that were being emphasized and slogans that were being said 1,000 years ago. And they're still stuck on those slogans. And the fact is that the idea of Karbala is that there is depth. You learn one lesson, you apply it, then you go on and learn the next lesson that stays there. Many times what happens is that we are stuck on some of those lessons that we should have been passed long time ago. And we have it inside our system to make sure that obviously we don't go to that level. You know, for example, if someone comes on the member while reciting the story of Imam Hussein, says, "Be careful that you don't want to become Hurmala." I mean, why would we become Hurmala? I mean, Hurmala, his character, his behavior, his way of life has become so open for us and so disgusting in front of us that we don't even think of going close to that. So that is not a lesson that we need to be emphasizing. What we need to be emphasizing is, do not become Sulaiman ibn Surad. Oh, Sulaiman ibn Surad, this is a person who liked Imam Hussein, who wrote letters to Imam Hussein. He asked other people to write letters to Imam Hussein. And when Imam Hussein came there, he did not come to join him.
Yes. Yes.
You see, that's the lesson that we need to be afraid of. Not hurmala. It's an insult to say that we become hurmala. You know, I think we have passed that lesson now. Right? That is not our goal. That is not our standard now. We need to be emphasizing this lesson. Do not become that person. Right? That afterwards, yes, he did rise up. Right? He did rise up. He did regret what he did. Right? Not that he was bad. He regretted what he did. He rose up and was killed. But the issue is that, right, to us it's a lesson that, listen, do not become like him, that we decide too late and Imam Hussein dies in our eyes. And we regret later that, hey, you know what, we didn't do anything. This is where we need to be learning lessons from. Salawat ala Muhammad. You know, because in the lessons of Karbala, you will see that people who stick to traditions, they hold on to these slogans that their forefathers had, and they stick to those without realizing that we need to grow from there. And we need to look a little bit deeper. Look deeper than that so we can get the right message from there. The message that we need right now. That we should be at right now. That would challenge us to grow more. Our goal should be that here, you know what, I don't want to become hurmala. You know, if someone comes as a member and says, listen, you know, be a man. If Karbala happens today, be a man. Don't be a coward, be a man. Aha, what do you mean by that? Hey, Morana, what do you mean by that? You know what that means? Be a man means that if you don't have a sword to fight against Imam Hussein, don't pick up stones. What kind of lesson is that? Is that the meaning of be a man? You know, that if you don't have a sword to fight against Imam Hussein, that we're going to pick up stones? I mean, understand, we are past that. We need to look now towards lessons that will challenge us to become better than that. That's not our standard. That's not a standard to be at. This is what something that we need to recognize. So in order to know these lessons that we learn, you know, because many times we are looking at the morals we get from Karbala without looking at the foundations and the bases and the causes of Karbala. Right? If we want to learn lessons from Karbala, then we need to prevent the causes that made Karbala. You see, we need to prevent those causes, the reasons why Karbala happened. Not that we are looking at, okay, what do we gain from Karbala? What do we get from Karbala? What do we get from Karbala is to stop the reasons why Karbala happened. That should be our challenge. That is what we are facing right now. Let me explain that more if you send me a salawat. You know, if a Shia says, in his love of Imam Hussein, he says, Mawla Hussein, I love you. I love you and may I be sacrificed for you. May my parents be sacrificed for you. If you are killed, My love is this, that if you are killed, I will never let your body be on the ground for 2 or 3 days. Of course not. What kind of love is that? Is that the extent of your love? Is that the extent of what you know what Imam said? That, you know, Imam was saying, if you die, I would never let that happen. You will never be on the ground. I will give you a coffin and, you know, duffin and this and that. Your love should be that, Mawla Hussein, I would never let the causes occur that would make Karbala happen and you be killed. That should be your standard. Not that, you know what, if you die, alhamdulillah, I will be there, mashallah, you did so much for Imam Hussein. You let him be killed, but after that, you will not have it that he'll be on the ground for 1 or 2 days, this and that. No, I mean, our goal is not that. Her goal should be that, no, the most remotest reasons and causes of Karbala happening should be the target that we need to stop those things from occurring so that Imam Hussein doesn't end up in a place where he's killed.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is where we need to be headed towards. And if we go there, then an event, an incident like Karbala will never happen. Friends, I emphasize this in one of the speech in brief. Just a little bit, I want to touch on it now. Right? In brief, I said this, and maybe, you know, the message didn't or was not clear. I wasn't able to make it clear. But today I just want to emphasize this so that it becomes clear. You know, we want to be with Imam Hussein, we love Imam Hussein, we want to be with Imam Hussein, right? In order to be with Imam Hussein, in order to be with the Imam of our time, right, we need to have the capacity to bear the truth. Our being close to Imam Hussein depends on how much is our capacity that we have to bear truth. How much capacity do you have to bear the truth? You know, if you hear from someone, let's say, you know, like for example, you take some food at the majlis and this and that. You take food and then you eat half of it, you want to throw half away. Someone comes and tells you, brother, you know, you're wasting food. You took this food, and you're throwing away half of it. Take it home and eat it later. Now, how much ability do we have to bear this? How much can we tolerate? What is our level of tolerance? What, this food? You're insulting me because of this food? I don't need this food, I have enough food at home. What, you think I need this food? What he's saying is not wrong. What he's saying is not wrong. Do you have the ability to bear the truth? To tolerate it? See, our capacity is such, is so low, that even a small truth comes to us that is evident, we cannot bear it.
Ya Allah.
We can't bear it. We are insulted by it. Our ego is hurt by it. So if we cannot bear that little truth that has come in front of us, how can we bear to be with the Imam who's going to point out to us our minutest defects?
Ya Allah.
You think that the Imam will allow someone to be close to them and they have defects in them and weaknesses in them?
Wow. This is hard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to be away from the Imam, far away, yes, I love Imam Hussein, he's dying in Karbala right now, but you know, I love him. Yes, you want to be like that, that's fine. But if you want to be with him in Karbala, then you have to be a person who has to have the capacity to bear the truth, to be with the Imam. This is something that we all need to improve that. You know, look at yourself, challenge yourself. Some akhlaqi issues right now, just that you can try try to work on your own self. You want to be with the Imam? Increase this capacity that you have to tolerate truth about your own self. Right? If someone comes to you and says, you know, man, that hairstyle is terrible. I spent a lot of money on this and time trying to get this up. All kinds of gel and hair oils and all these things, trying to put it together. You come just say it's ugly. Right? How would you feel? Would you feel bad? Are you feeling bad now? If I tell you, you are a bad audience. We are a bad audience? We can get any other mana we want. Understand this, man. How would you feel? How are you feeling? Is it hurting? Is it making you upset? Is it making you angry? What is your capacity of bearing the truth? You see, this is my friend, if you understand this, look at yourself. You want to be with the Imam, this is how you improve. When someone tells you something, that is the best opportunity you have to analyze your own self. To look at your own self. Who am I? Instead of thinking about me, okay, you know what? That person has this observation about me. It might not be the truth. It might not be the reality. You know? But some natural reactions we have here. That we hear a lot. You don't know me. Mm-hmm. You don't know me. Okay. Do you know yourself? Do you know yourself? How much do you know yourself? You see, my friend, we grow old and you hear old people, 60, how many years have you lived with yourself? 30, 40, 50, 60, 70? How many years have you lived with yourself? You hear 70-year-old people experiencing new things and saying, man, I never knew I had it in me. You live with yourself for 70 years and you don't even know that. Man, you're still learning about yourself. You're still learning about yourself. Yes, I don't know you. Right? But that's not the answer. That's not the answer. The real answer is, yes, you don't know me. But who knows you? You say, Allah knows me. Now, Allah knows me. My Imam knows me. And for me, their knowledge is important. Their impression is important. So if you as a mu'min have this observation about me, then I have to rectify it so that my impression in front of Allah is going to get better. Yes, it doesn't matter what I think of you. But what does Allah think of you? Does that matter? I mean, what the Imam thinks of you, does that matter? My friend, that is our picture we need to change. So if you get someone who will tell you something about you, then you should kiss his hands and say, thank you for telling me something that I haven't noticed. My friends, I said before, Al-Izzatu Lillahi wa li Rasulihi. Izzat is for Allah and His Messenger. This false pride we have with people. Who do you want to impress? Who are you working for? Who are you acting for? These poor, indigent people who have nothing to offer you. Are you living your life for them? Are we living our life for them? Then why are we so much concerned about keeping our reputation amongst the people? Are they going to help you when you die?
No.
Are they going to come and say that, Allah, listen, you know, I have a big bank account, let me write you a check and let him go. You know, here, under the table, you know, so no one looks at you. Who's going to come to your aid? Who's going to come to help you? Understand? We are here concerned about them. If they say something, we feel insulted. Instead of saying that, you know what, you observe this about me. Our society and community has become such, no one wants to advise each other. Why? Because they all know that no one has the ability to handle the truth. So when a community and society becomes that, hey, listen, he's on his own, that's his own life. I ain't going to go and tell him anything. Why is that? Because everyone knows that everyone is weak. These are all weaklings that we all understand. I'm weak, he's weak. Everyone sins. What does that mean? That we should all sin? That we should all sin? That we should all be weak? And friends, the issue, my friend, understand, the reason I'm saying this is what? That if we want to be with the Imam, increase this capacity you have to bear the truth. If you don't increase it, then it is only a dream to be with the Imam. You cannot even come close to him. You won't be able to live with him. You cannot. And keep that in mind. This is where you need to improve. If someone tells you something, a mu'min tells you something, an observance that he makes, accept it. Say that, you know, I accept you. You are someone who cries for Imam Hussein. You are someone who loves Imam Hussein. And I value your word. I value your word on me. Take that observance, my friends, and take it to heart and see how you rectify yourself if you want to be with the Imam. Salawat ala Muhammad. So the issue is, stop the causes of Karbala. Look at what caused Karbala and stop those causes. What are the first thing that happened? Stop those causes. And the first cause of Karbala that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam had mentioned. First cause of Karbala is jahalat, ignorance. Ignorance. You know, not knowing. No, not knowing. Not even wanting to know. You know, there's something, you know, there are those people who try to know and they don't. There are those people who don't even try to know. Right? And these are two different categories, my friends. Understand this. Two different categories. Because some people, they try. They try to learn and this and that, but they don't just have the intellectual ability to comprehend. That's fine. At least that person tries, and Allah will help him to get better. He's a student who's going to get better. But then there are those people who don't even try to learn. Right? Who don't even try to learn. The speech is going on and they're playing games or texting on their phone. Right? They don't even try to learn. So what happens with those people? It's very simple, my friends. On the Day of Judgment, when you go there, you will see that there'll be two lines that'll be formed. Right? There's one for those people who are ignorant, right, who are non-Muslim, those who knew but they did not accept it. Those who knew but they rejected Islam. It will be, okay, one line. And there will be those people who didn't know and they didn't want to know. They said, you know what, it's better to be ignorant. If you don't know it, then we can tell Allah that, yeah, Allah, I didn't know. Yes, you know, I didn't know, you know. Oh, yes, you know, I mean, this is an excuse that very weak people make all the time. You know, those who have weak characters, they make all the time. Oh, I didn't know that, you know. Oh, you know, okay, you know, okay, you know, well, now you know, you know, okay. What happens? So, don't think that that's going to work with Allah on the Day of Judgment. So if you say that, Allah, I didn't know, then you'll be put in another line. Okay, you get another line and you'll be happy. Okay, I'm in the other line now, not with those kuffar, you know. I'm in the other line, you know. The line of the ignorant people who didn't want to know. They're in another line. So these two lines will be going forward. As they go forward, right? The lion of the kuffar will be just asked one question. And the lion that was ignorant and remained ignorant will be asked two questions. The lion of the kuffar will be just asked one question. What's that question? They will be asked, why did you believe? They will see, man, you know, we didn't like Islam. Or, you know what? Whatever reason, too gluttonous, too desire, whatever. My nafs was too strong, whatever the reason is. So Allah will deal with them. Whatever Allah wants to do, will deal with them. But those who were ignorant and remained ignorant will be asked two questions. He says, why didn't you believe? And they'll remember the excuse they used in dunya. Oh Allah, I didn't know. Why didn't you pray? I didn't know it was wajib. You know? Why didn't you wear hijab? I didn't know it was wajib. You know? Okay. You didn't know it was wajib. Right? So you're saying that you didn't know. That was what you answered. That will be your answer. So the second question will come. Why didn't you know? Why didn't you know? We didn't do it. Why? Because we didn't know. Well, why didn't you know? I mean, you knew everything about sports and all the numbers in sports and how much he hit shots and how much he scored and all these things. You knew every name of every music singer and this and that and their history and where they were born and how old they are, if they have diabetes or not. You know about the life of every movie actor, if he's divorced, if he's married, how many children he has. You knew all these information in your life. You memorized all these things. The only thing that was not important for you was Islam. In other words, to these people, what they're saying, that Islam was so worthless that we don't even wanted to learn about it. You see, this is what they're saying. When you're, okay, I don't want to learn, it's better to be ignorant. No, it's not. You know, you will be in deeper trouble in the day of judgment. If you say that I didn't know, my friends, learn. Jahalat was the cause of Karbala. It was one of the major causes of Karbala was Jahalat, Imam Sadiq is saying for us. Right? The second cause is this attitude of take it easy. That was there. Easier, it's alright. Take it easy, you know, it's fine. You know, what's happening? Someone became the Khalifa other than Ali. It's alright, it'll be alright. Oh, what happened? The door of Fatima was brought down on her? Wow, that's bad. Inshallah, you know, Allah will take care of it. Allah will take care of it. Yeah. You know, you mean the messenger is not being listened to? You know, his hukum and order is not being listened to? Inshallah, you know, it's alright. You know, it happens. You know, it happens. Right? And then it increases. It increases to what? Now it increases to the next level. Wow. Ali been martyred? Wow. We were never expecting that. But inshallah, it's good. You know, Allah will take care of it. May Allah, you know, curse that man, you know, killed him. Okay. Imam Hassan was murdered? Oh, man, that's terrible. And then it came all the way down to what we have? Karbala. Karbala? What? Ali Asghar? What? Ali Akbar this? You see? All this happened, you know what? Taking it easy. When the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt was taken away from them, we took it easy.
Ya Allah.
We're taking it easy. So now just that taking it easy has come to what? Karbala. It has come to Karbala. And now we cry, oh, Karbala happened, oh, astaghfirullah, huh? You know, we cry, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. Friend, what lessons are we learning? Lessons that did you stop those reasons that made Karbala from happening? No, we don't stop those reasons, but we'll cry for Imam Hussein. Then what lesson are you learning from Imam Hussein then? Understand this, my friends. These are the lessons we need to learn. Why is this so important? Why? Because we haven't understood the value of Karbala. Do you know how much it's worth? What is the price of Karbala? Really, have you ever thought about this? What is the value of Karbala? Well, I want to put a value of it today. Right? I'm going to put a value. There's a value for Karbala. The price of Karbala. Why? What is that value? It's something that we need to understand so we can know what it is. Right. You know, Shia, you alhamdulillah, we love Imam Hussein. You know, we cry for him. The tragedy is such that anyone who knows Rasulullah, anyone who knows the family and has little ma'rifat of the family of Ahlul Bayt, you know, their hearts would be melted by what happened in Karbala. And we cry and we see Mu'minina crying and say, Ya Hussein, you know, has been killed thirsty and his body is laying on the ground for 3 days and so on and so forth. And you are like, okay, brother, wait, let me ask you some questions. Let me ask you some questions now. Logically and rationally answer me. In your own self. I will just ask you some questions. Right? Why are you crying? Imam Hussein was killed thirsty. Okay. So if he was given water, would you be happy? If Umar ibn Sa'd said, alright, give him water before you kill him, would you be happy? He said, oh yes, huh? Oh, what are you talking about? Of course not, I won't be happy. Okay, if he was given water, then why are you crying? Well, he was on the ground for, you know, how many days, you know, and no one was there to bury him. Okay, if they had buried him, would you be happy? Would you be happy? I mean, you know, okay, they gave him water and they buried him. They killed him and they buried him. Would you be happy? No, what are you talking about? He shouldn't be killed at all. Okay, good, you know. So, if he wasn't killed, and he was wandering in the desert like a Bedouin, and no one wanted to accept him, would you be happy then?
No.
I mean, okay, now would you say, okay, now we won't cry, you know, now he's alive, but he's wandering in the desert, you know, no one wants him, and he's... No, I mean, you know, I wouldn't be happy with that. He says, okay, why not? Because he was kicked out of his homeland in Medina. Okay, he was kicked out of his homeland in Medina. Okay. Alright, let's say if he wasn't kicked out of Medina, but he was left alone there and no one was paying attention to him, would you be happy then? I mean, would you say that, okay, I'll stop crying because he was left alone in Medina and, you know, at least he's alive and no one cares about him? If he says yes, you know, I have to slap him in the face. He says, you? Of course not. I won't be happy. He says, okay, I mean, what? Go back now. Let's go back. When will you be happy? Right? Because if you say you'll be happy, then why are you crying for what happened to Imam Hassan?
Ya Allah.
He was left alone. Everyone left him, this and that. No. You wouldn't be happy then also. Let's go back now. Would you be happy If Ali was not left alone, I mean, where does it go back? When will you be happy? Well, we would be happy if Imam Hassan became the king of the world and he was the leader. Okay, you go back now. Would you be happy if Imam Ali had become the leader after Rasulullah?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
So what will make you stop crying? Understand this. If Ali had become the leader, my friends, this is what will make you stop crying. If Ali had become the leader, if he was in charge, if he was the king of the world, if he was in charge of the deen. So my friends, the value and the price of Karbala is no lesser than the government of Imam Zaman. The only time this grief will go away from us, the only time we will be happy, is when Imam Zamana will be ruling.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
That is the only time. That is the price. That's the value, no less than that. That's what we want. This whole thing is going back to what? That the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt has been taken away from them.
Yes.
That's been taken away from them. Now we have to come back and bring it back to its position. Only then we will be happy. Karbala is going through this process. This mourning is going through this process of what? To remind us to bring it back to its place. Yes. Only then will this grief stop. And we will be happy when our Imam of the time will become the leader of the world. And he will be in charge. This is what we want. This is what we want. Salawat ala Muhammad. So my friends, if we want to know the lessons of Karbala, we need to stop the reasons and the causes why it happened. That's what we need to stop. The causes from what it happened. That's why, you know, our leader emphasized that how, you know, to think about this. For the whole Ummah, Ayatollah Khamenei had said, for the whole Ummah, he said, reflect on this point. That how did the Muslim community go from what it was in the time of Rasulullah in 50 years only, half a century, to Karbala?
Wow.
How did it go there? That's something, you know, understand, ignorance. Take it easy attitude. Non-controversial, you know. Don't be like Umar ibn Sa'd. I told you in the speeches. You know, who's Umar ibn Sa'd? You know, very religious person. You know, not like that. These are the people, I mean, really, you know, really, we haven't even understood the depths of the musibat of Ashura, even to a fraction of the level yet.
Wow.
Really, we haven't understood, my friends. You understand? You know, I mean, there are certain things we can't even cry for because we don't understand them. We don't have the marifat for them because that's why we don't, we can't cry for it. If I tell you how much pain Imam Hussein went through at losing Muslim ibn Aqil. You know, we'll hear about it. Wow, you know, maybe, you know, you don't understand. Don't understand, right? But if I speak about Ali Asghar, it makes sense to us because that's our marifat. It's something that we can feel and sense, and hence we cry for it. We feel that. When you speak about Ali Akbar, everyone just looks at their son and say, wow, you know, I feel that pain. And then we can feel it, so we cry for it, because we can feel it, we can grasp it, we can comprehend it. We cry for it, right? We mourn for it. But you know what? But when you say, you know, oh, Imam Hussein went through so much pain because Muslim Ibn Akhil was killed. When he heard the news of Muslim Ibn Akhil, he was devastated.
Wow.
I don't understand. I mean, why? Because we are not leaders. We don't have representatives. To know the fact that what it means when your representative is harmed. Because we haven't felt it. We don't have any emotional attachment to it. We can't cry. You know, and I gave you this example so that you understand how many depths there are in Karbala. We don't even understand. Because we're not leaders, we're followers. We are those people, just we see the emotional attachment, a family attachment. Yes, we cry for that. It's natural to cry. But what Imam Hussein went through, really, we don't understand the depths of those things yet. Now can I say something? When Ali Akbar died, what did Imam Hussein say? He says, "Ala dunya ba'dakal afa." He says, after you, Ali Akbar, dunya has no meaning anymore. Dunya has no meaning anymore. And you know what? When Muslim Ibn Aqil, when the news of Muslim Ibn Aqil came, Imam Hussein said that after hearing the news of Ibn Aqil, I do not want to live anymore. You believe that to Imam Hussein, the news of Muslim Ibn Aqil was the same as the news of Ali Akbar. And friends, the depths of Karbala we haven't understood yet. But you see, if you want to stop it from happening, then we need to go back and change the causes, the things that made it happen, the things that brought the Imam to a place where he would be butchered. His family would be butchered. You know? And I gave you this whole speech, I gave you the comparison between what happened from the time of the Prophet and Imam Ali to Imam Hussein. One last example I will give you, inshallah, and we will end it here. You know, Abu Dharr, may Allah have mercy on him and bless his soul. Abu Dharr was that one person who, when no one spoke up against the wrong that was happening to the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt, he was the only one who was speaking. He was the only one who was speaking, right? The companion of the Prophet, about whom the Prophet had said that there is no one more truthful under the sun than Abu Dharr. This is Abu Dharr. Right? And I want you to just see. Abu Dharr died after the Prophet did. Little while after the Prophet, Abu Dharr died. But you know, Abu Dharr was banned. He was exiled to a place called Rabida. And in that place, his son died. They were living in isolation. He was put in this place, and in that place, his son died. Abu Dharr, now this is the society at the time of the Prophet. Just, you know, the society in the time of Imam Hussein. Abu Dharr did not have water to wash his body, did not have clothes to put a shroud on his son. The mother of the son is crying, there's nothing there. Abu Dharr tells his wife that, let me go and ask the nearby village, someone, find someone, so that we can do the proper burial for him, just the way Islam asked us to do. So he went to a nearby village, and they said, he introduced himself. He said, listen, my son has died, and I have nothing for it. The village, they all came together, said, what's going on? He says, my son has died, needs to be shot. He says, who are you? He says, I am Abu Dharr, the companion of the Prophet. In that village, new Muslims, they just become Muslims. When they heard that Abu Dharr, the companion of the Prophet, is in their village, they started to kiss his hands. Started kissing hands, the companion of the Prophet is amongst us. This is a blessing for us. And he says, my son has died. He says, your son has died. Do not worry. We will all with you, we will be coming there for you. They all got together. They all got together and said, we will come and we will carry his body. We will make sure that you do this. And you know, they were ready to go and they said, you know, where is his mother? He says, his mother is with him, his dead body. He says, the mother is there. The man turned towards the woman of the village and says, woman of the village, don't you see that his mother is there? How can she be there alone? You come there to comfort her and console her and give sympathy to her so that she doesn't feel sad. And the woman came from the village and everyone came out. And they came to bury, and when they came to the body, Abu Dharr went towards the body. They stopped him. He says, no, do not go there. Do not go there. He says, why is that? It's because we heard from the Prophet that the father or the waris, they should not get close to the body. As long as we are here, we will take care of everything for you. We will take care of everything for you. Abu Dharr's son. And this is the society that the Rasulullah had left. Now can I go to Karbala? Abu Dharr, you should be thankful to Allah that you have died after Rasulullah. That you weren't there to see what happened to the family of Rasulullah. When the companion of Rasulullah, the Sahabi of Rasulullah came in the village, they were kissing his hands and feet. When the grandson of Rasulullah has come in front of people, they're cutting off the water. Cutting off the water from him. When the Abu Dharr goes to the village and says, my son has died, the men are standing up to carry the body. Rasulullah's sons and grandchildren are lying on the barren ground of Karbala. No one even wants to put a cloth over it. Put a cloth over it for shame's sake. Put something to hide them. But now they're lying naked on the battlefield of Karbala. When you know, on the 11th of Muharram, when all the people were taken and the women were made prisoners, their hands were tied. Their hands were tied behind their backs. And they're being pulled forward. They're being pulled forward before they get on the camel. Imam Sajjad was taken up. He was in prayer, in prostration. Imam Sajjad, who was ill, and you know his situation. And Sham-e-Ghariba, Imam Sajjad, when Sham-e-Ghariba, when he went into Sajda, he did not get up until the next day when they forced him to get up. They forced him to get up. They put chains on his hands, handcuffed him, and put a neck brace that was heavy. But the neck brace was sliding off his neck. So in order to hold it up, they drove in nails into his flesh so that it could be held up by the nails. In that situation, that's the situation when they put them together and marked them. Umar ibn Sa'd said, oh, you know, this is what we'll do. Make them go through the battlefield. You know, one thing is that you want to make them prisoners, but he just wanted to give them some pain that they watch their dead lying on the battlefield. So he made them parade through the battlefield first so they can watch touched the dead bodies, and everyone was watching their beloved dead body lying on the battlefield. Zainab, Umme Kulthum, Layla, Rubab, everyone was watching their body, their dead ones on the ground, and crying over them, weeping over them, breaking down. But when you see, when they came towards the body of Hussein, Zainab could not bear it. Zainab could not tolerate it. She turned the hand behind. She fell on the body of Hussein. She made herself fall on the body of Hussein. Hussein, I cannot give you anything to cover you with, Hussein. But you know, when Zainab fell, it is written that when Zainab fell, her hands were tied behind the back of her head. When she fell, it is said that she fell like a bus. When she fell, her hands were not there to support her. She fell on her face. Zainab fell, Imam Sajjad. You know, every boy, everyone who's here, you know how much Allah wanted us to respect our parents, our father and mother. That their parents are someone that they love, that they should respect. Everyone, no matter how bad he is, at least when his father dies, wants to give him the last respect and give him the funeral so that he will be at peace that my father died with respect. Imam Sajjad, imagine what he's going through and the pain that he's going through. He sees his father's body lying naked on the battlefield of Karbala, and he's saying, "Father, I cannot even give you a coffin, a shroud to put on you. How poor I am right now. These people have taken everything away from me. They have tied my arms around also." This is how they took Imam Sajjad. This is how they took Imam Sajjad. And they went like that as prisoners from Karbala. They were put on camel backs that didn't have saddles on them. You know what happens when you put people on camel backs with no saddles on them? You see, the hair of the camel at the top of it is very rough. It is very rough. And when you sit on it, it's very difficult to sit on. And these are the women of Rasulullah who had lived in their homes. They're not desert dwellers. They're city dwellers. They lived in the city. If they're desert dwellers, who knew how to handle it? But when you put someone who lived in the city in a situation where they're now in the desert on top of camels, imagine what they go through. But the worst one that happened, the worst thing that happened is that they were putting everyone on top of the camels. But then Sakina was going with Zainab. Zainab was taking Sakina with her. And one of the soldiers came on the order of Shimr. He took Sakina away from Zainab. He said, "Where are you taking her?" He said, "Don't worry, we will take care of her. This is the daughter of Hussein. We will take care of her." They put Sakina on the back of the camel alone. 4-year-old Sakina on the back of the camel. And they went through that. Sakina, all the ladies were saying, "How can she hold herself up there? Let her go." They would not let that happened. They made Sakina go like that as they were going towards that. Just one last rivayat I'll read for you, and inshallah you give your condolences. You give your condolences tonight. One last rivayat. You know, this is heart wrenching. So you need to bear, and inshallah may Allah give you the heart to take this. You know, when Sakina was on the camel back and the whole entourage was going towards Kufa, there was a time that Imam Hussein's head, because every head was put on a spear, and the spears were put in front and they were being taken like that. All the prisoners were being behind. Imam Hussein's head, the spear that was on his head, at one point dug itself into the ground by itself. Mu'jiza, a miracle. Dug itself in the ground, it would not move. Everyone was trying to take it out, no one was moving. It wasn't moving. It was stuck there. Nay, there's no place it would move. And these people, they were looking at it. They said, how would we make it move? Shimmer came. What happened? He says, this spear is stuck in the ground. It will not move. It would not move from here. So Shimmer said, I know how to make it move. He went to Imam Sajjad. Oh, he didn't ask him anything. He didn't do anything. He says, you are the son of Hussein, right? And your father's head is not moving. Now, you know what? I'm going to start whipping you until it moves. Until you make it move. And he started whipping Imam Sajjad in the back. With each whip, Imam Sajjad, he's already ill. He's sick. It would slash into his flesh and cut into his flesh. He said, as long as it doesn't move, I will keep on hitting you. Imam Sajjad asked his father, Father, why aren't you moving? For their own self, for them to understand, to let them know who you have killed. Otherwise, Imam Sajjad knows. He knows the reason. He says, Father, why aren't you moving? Imam Hussein answered his son and said, Son, my Sakina is not here. Imam Zainul Abideen told Shimmer, go. My sister is not in the caravan anymore. And he said, well, we put her on the camel. And apparently Sakina fell off the camel somewhere. No one noticed. She fell off the camel, no one noticed. Imam Sajjad said, we need to look for her. My father will not move without his daughter. Zainab and Umm Kulsoom were sent looking for them. Zainab went out looking. Sakina, where are you, Sakina? Sakina, where are you, Sakina? And it is said that she came. And they, one place they saw that a lady is sitting on the ground. A lady sitting on the ground, and Sakina is in her lap sleeping. Sakina is sleeping in her lap. Zainab says, I went up to that lady and said, I was astonished to see, one, Sakina in her lap, and two, that she is sleeping. I know that Sakina never slept without the chest of Hussein. And after Hussein has been martyred, how can she sleep? She is sleeping in her lap. She goes up to the lady and says, that is my Sakina. She is lost from us. Thank you for taking care. And she said, take her. But she said, listen, I have one question to ask you. I know my niece. She never sleeps without her father. How can she sleep in your lap and in your chest? Zainab said that the lady looked up to her and said, my daughter, don't you know me? I'm Fatima. Sakina felt the same heartbeat of Hussein in mine. It is the heartbeat of Hussein that made Sakina sleep. Hussein is my heartbeat, so Sakina is sleeping in my chest. Take her, my daughter. Zainab brought her back. He brought her back. And he said to Shimmer, let her be with me. Let her sit with me. What is wrong with you? Let him be with me. He said, no, we will take care of her. We made plans for her. Do not worry. And they let Zainab went forward. You know what they did with Sakina? This time they put her on the back of the camel. They put her on the back of the camel. And they tied her hands and legs around the camel. Around the belly of the camel, they tied her hands and legs, and they made the camel walk like that. They made the camel walk like that until they came to the next station. When Ahlul Bayt were taken off, the whole camel back was filled with the blood of Sakina, whose skin is being rashed by the hair of the camel, and her blood is now coating the camel's back. Sakina, cry, but no one notices. Father, Ammu Abbas. يا الله بحق علي يا فاطر السماوات بحق فاتح يا محسن بحق حسن يا قديم الأحسان بحق حسن Oh Allah, give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. Give us the wisdom to understand your guidance. Hasten the reappearance of our Imam. Make us his helper when he comes. Oh Allah, accept this small worship from us. Oh Allah, those who are here and all those who have attended here, inshallah, Allah, we ask you for the sake of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, that you help them through all the issues that they have and the problems that they have, and that you make them go and all the hardships that they're going through, give them the strength to bear those hardships. Oh Allah, we ask you that all the oppression that is happening towards those who love Ahlul Bayt and believe in them and walk on their path, you help all those mu'mineen no matter where they are, whether in Pakistan or Kashmir or India or Iraq or Iran or any place where you see that the enemies of Ahlul Bayt are attacking the Shias. You help those Shias and make them stronger and make them so strong that they can be ready for the Imam of your time. Oh Allah, we ask you that you keep our ulama and our leader safe, and you keep them healthy, and you give them a long life until the return of our Imam. Oh Allah, we ask you that you make all our children increase the love of Ahlul Bayt that they have in their hearts. Oh Allah, we ask you to keep our feet firm on the path of Ahlul Bayt, and that you give us strength in our hands so that we can hold up the flag of Islam. Oh Allah, we ask you that we are those who are waiting for the Imam. If there is any weaknesses that we have, you help us to get through those weaknesses. You give us the strength that we need from this days that we have mourned for Imam Hussein, and that we ask you that you make us, our Imam, ready and our souls ready so that we can help the Imam in taking revenge of Imam Hussein. وَآخِرَ الدَّعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ مَاتَ الْحُسَيْنِ